Sports Radio, a message by email. Any person, any program, any matter. One email address will find us all. Go to skysportsradio.com.au, click feedback and follow the prompts. It's that easy.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
CK here. You love backing winners. You love your racing. Well, so do we. Don't forget to join us Monday mornings for Punters Postmortem. Call us on 13 53 53 and chat with the best racing experts in the business. There's a $50 tab voucher up for grabs for the best caller. Monday mornings from 9 a.m. right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
John Farnham and Olivia Newton-John. Two strong hearts live. 20 unforgettable hits recorded live with Philharmonia Australia, including 16 stunning duets. Experience two legends together on one stage. John Farnham and Olivia Newton-John. Two strong hearts out now.
Garlo's Pies, 100% Australian lean Aussie beef and bursting with flavour in all Coles and IGA stores. If you can't find them, ask for Garlo's by name. The difference with Garlo's is the deliciously flaky pastry on top and a bottom which is rolled extra thin, giving you more meat and less fat.
Hey, Mum, don't forget the Garlo's.
And don't forget me, Darls.
You tell them, kiddo. At Garlo's Pies,
we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
Breeders' Corindai Jockey Club Stallion Tender is now open. Almost 40 outstanding stallions could be yours at very affordable prices. Sires are standing across New South Wales, Queensland and Victoria and include Almaha, Monaco Consul, Trusting and Lucas Cranach. It's time to make an offer with Corindai Jockey Club. Call 0408 461 905 or email qjc@bigpond.net.au. Hurry, tenders close July 17.
Yeah, why wouldn't we get into it? 1353 53 is the open line number. Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Edition. Ray and Jimmy, right up until 10 o'clock. Remember the new time, 7 till 10. 7 till 10. I have to put that in my phone next time. 7 till 10. Don't know why I was here at 4 o'clock. Anyway, looking forward to today. Mike Tomalaris, we're going over there to the Tour de France. Good news, too, from an Australian perspective. Rowan Dennis winning the time trial there. So, well done to him.
Yellow jersey. After day one.
Yeah, fantastic. John O'Shea will have a chat to John after the impressive win of Houseman, beautifully bred horse. You expect nothing less from the Godolphin stable. Chrissy Lees from Newcastle up there had a good win as well. We'll have Tanya with the scratchings, of course. Dean Bulldog Richie will be coming live out of Coffs Harbour. Makes a habit of this. Three times every year. Tony McAvoy also had a winner yesterday out there with Shiraz, beautifully named Shiraz. We'll have Zorba Zappas, Kieran Foran, gone to the Parramatta Eels. He'll be disappointed about that, Zorb, no doubt. We'll have the Z&Z quiz. Current score update?
11-6, Jimmy. You've slipped away again.
Huge lead. We will go inside the New South Wales camp. Laurie Daly, the coach of the Blues, will be with us just as he was before Game 1 and Game 2. And speaking of just as he was before Game 1 and Game 2, we'll go inside the Maroons camp with the assistant coach, Michael Hagan. We'll head over to Wimbledon, Raymond. Mm-hmm. Lots happening at Wimbledon from an Australian perspective. Leo Schlink will join us there. We'll have Trent Lenskow from tab.com.au. We'll have a sports update with Tanya. We'll have Scotty Foster on. We'll have quizzes, courtesy of Tab. We'll have quizzes, courtesy of Z&Z Watches. And we'll have best caller tickets to Event Cinemas at Parramatta, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Prizes, prizes, and more prizes. Good morning to you, Raymond. A little bit of an up-and-down weekend for you. Up with the Panthers on Friday night, then down with the Dragons and down with the Blues last night. Good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, one of those weekends. You were down at Wynn Stadium last night. Jimmy, was it really cold last night?
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't as cold as the night before. I was down the coast on the Friday night, and it was freezing. And from what I understand, Penrith game was the coldest NRL game this year.
Must have been too many night games at Canberra so far in the midwinter. But look, St George's problems, I think, at the moment, Jimmy, their defence is still fantastic, but their attack, I think it's four games now, they've only scored 54 points. And last night, 12 points wasn't enough to cut it against the Cowboys, who won without Jonathan Thurston. On Friday night, I thought Penrith were fantastic, Jimmy.
Very good.
Really good. I know South did butcher a few tries, but Penrith were great. And that combination of Wallace and Sauer, both players getting fit again, paved the way for that really comprehensive 20-6 win. Jimmy, so much happening in sport. You mentioned Wimbledon. Leo Schlink, can't wait to talk to him about Bernard Tomic, his outburst over there against Tennis Australia.
What's going on?
What motivates that cut from the Davis Cup? The news overnight, Ryan Harris, a man you said should be almost first bowler picked if he was fit. Unfortunately, Jim, the knee injury has come back. Well, he's called it quits. He's retired from all forms of cricket just days out from the first test.
Well, during the week, as you do, you're talking with mates and you start talking, OK, who's your test 11? Who's your test 11? And I had Harris in it and no Hazelwood.
There were dangerous signs when he missed the Essex game.
That's right. And as soon as he didn't play in that game and then you start worrying about that history of knee problems, and he's, 35, 36 years of age? And as a result of that, you say, Ryan, he misses out. Mm. Fair replacement.
Pat Cummins, he's a gun.
Well, hang on.
Oh, Pat Cummins, he brought into the squad.
Yeah, but Josh Hazlewood in the 11. Yeah. He was man of the match in the last test in the West Indies.
And took four wickets overnight against Essex. Australia won that match. So, look, I think we're in pretty good shape. I did text you, I think it was yesterday, Jimmy. Watto or Mitch Marsh?
Compelling.
That's the big
case that Mitch Marsh is putting together. If it's Mitch Marsh now, then you wonder what the future is for Shane Watson, just short-form cricket.
Yeah, well, Mitch Marsh is batting brilliantly with back-to-back hundreds, and he's bowling more. Watson didn't bowl in the second innings at Essex.
And he bowls with better wheels than Watson.
Much faster.
Yeah, much faster. So, big decision there. But if Mitch Marsh gets in, then it's goodbye Shane Watson, five-day game.
Most likely. Jimmy, one of the most saddest things I think we've ever seen in Australian sport was the awful tragedy that happened in Adelaide early on Friday morning with the shocking news when it came out about the stabbing murder of Phil Walsh, the Adelaide coach. I didn't know Phil Walsh, Jimmy. I don't know if you ever met him. But
no, I didn't.
I've seen some of his press conferences and he seemed a really genuine bloke who interacted well with the media when the fans absolutely loved his footy. The tragic circumstances behind his death, it's almost hard to comprehend. But I tell you what has been heartwarming to some extent in the days since is how the sporting community, not just the AFL community, but the sporting community has rallied around, I guess, sport in Australia and showed the good side of things. We saw minute silence at Penrith on Friday night. Not a word was spoken.
Mm.
Again, last night at Wynn Stadium, the crowd was very respectful in their silence for Phil Walsh. At AFL games, after the matches, have you seen the two teams coming together in the centre of the field with the two coaches? Remarkable stuff, Jimmy. Phil Hughes was, I guess, brought the nation together in trying circumstances. And this has been very similar, Jim, with the outpouring of sentiment and genuine distress about what's an incomprehensible tragedy.
Well, you look at the scores from this weekend, and the Swans had a win on Thursday night, 94-84 against Port Adelaide, and then GWS go down to Richmond in a closely fought match yesterday at the MCG, and it's all inconsequential.
It is.
It's overwhelming.
this Phil Walsh situation, and condolences to he and his to his family. But it's just, it's so sad. And the word we had coming out now is that the son was an ice addict, and that is the scariest drug on the planet.
That is just so dangerous.
Rips families apart, and unfortunately it's happened to the Walsh family. So as I said, condolences to the Walsh family, completely ripped apart. They've suspended that match between the Crows and Geelong.
They'll share the points.
They suspended the match. Geelong did it willingly, and totally understand that. Super Rugby, the Highlanders, congratulations to them. They've won their first Super Rugby title, 21 points to 14 over the much more fancied Hurricanes.
They missed out at the big dance, haven't they? Had a great season, the Hurricanes, and blew it at the last hurdle. Jimmy, Wimbledon overnight. Sam Groth took a set off Federer. He did a good job.
It was 7-6. I bet you there was no breaker, sir.
Federer won 6-4, 6-4, 6-7, 6-2. Goes to the round of 16. Novak Djokovic marching through. Murray dropped a set. Interesting on the way through. The big news in the women's draw, Jimmy. Petra Kvitova, the defending champion, knocked out overnight by Jelena Jankovic, who's reaching back to some of her best form from some years ago.
Can't wait to speak to Leo about Nick Kyrgios. I don't know. Come on, Nick. Give me more to work with. I don't like it. It seems a little contrived. I've met him in person. Shook his hand. Nice young bloke, quietly spoken, respectful, interested in what you had to say. And then you see that sort of behaviour on the court and you think, oh, come on.
Yeah, I don't know, Jimmy. I'll tell you one thing, though. He's compelling to watch.
Oh, he can play the game.
He can play. Do we cut him some slack because he's 19, or is that excuse out the window?
No, we can cut him some slack. Absolutely. We can cut him some slack. And you've got to do that. And you wonder what the 26-year-old would look back at the 19 and think.
That'd be a little bit embarrassed.
That's what you can think about, because it's happened with a lot of people. You know, it happened with Leighton Hewitt. It's happened
Did he
ever get over it, McEnroe?
Yeah, probably not.
But Agassi. Look at Agassi. Mm. The great statesman of tennis wasn't the great statesman of tennis 12 years earlier. So you do cut him some slack, but gee, it's cringeworthy at the time, isn't it? Really cringeworthy.
But he's playing well. He's really marching through this tournament. I don't know if he can win at Wimbledon yet, but he's got the game to go a long way in this tournament, Jim.
He's got some points to defend at Wimbledon. Of course, he went so well last year, but he's defending them.
Yeah, he's in the round of 16.
Yeah, defending them. Big front page of today's Sunday Telegraph. Alex McKinnon bombshell. You can see that interview tonight on 60 Minutes. How dare Cameron Smith blame me? Ouch. Yeah. That's raw, isn't it? That is raw. I can't criticise Cameron Smith for what he said on the field, because you'd never know the extent of anyone's injuries. What I think is a little strange is that the Australian captain hasn't made contact with Alex McKinnon post that. That's the one where I think, okay, that's strange.
There's always two sides to a story, so you'd like to hear what Cameron Smith says in
response. And we probably won't get that before the Origin game.
And that's fair enough. But that'll be a compelling interview with Alex McKinnon tonight. What an inspirational story he is.
And then the other story on the front page of the Sunday Telegraph, Carmichael Hunt, the interview, why I had to dob. This comes from your mate Phil Rothfield on the back of his Sunday piece last week. Explosive statement from Carmichael Hunt. To be honest, looking at that, I know he didn't make the Wallabies 40-man squad for the upcoming Test matches. He was cut from that squad, and you know, I believe that's as much to do with football as anything else. You know, Michael Checker said it. Yeah, exactly. But, gee, have the Queensland Reds thought long and hard about terminating his contract?
They must be, yeah.
And look, you go through and you read that interview today and you totally understand. Look, if you don't cooperate with the Queensland Police, if you don't cooperate with the Queensland Crime and Corruption Commission, there are serious consequences. You go to jail.
You face jail term.
Yeah, absolutely. If you lie to them, if you don't fully explain yourself. I understand that. But, gee, that's breaking a sporting code in many ways. And surely everyone who plays with Carmichael Hunt at the Reds now looks at him sideways and says, do I want to go and have a beer with you? I know he didn't have a beer on a Mad Monday and all that sort of thing, but, gee, I think that breaks a code between a team.
Yeah, where to next for Carmichael Hunt, Jimmy? Like if...
A-League? Destroyed every other code.
Could he go back to rugby league? We heard during the week Israel Folau has signed on for another 3 years, so he's definitely not returning to the NRL.
It's disappointing, but well done, Izzy. And I've got to say, well done the ARU getting their man. They had to pay a lot of money, but name me another bloke from the Waratahs or the Wallabies that gets you a headline like Israel.
And to be fair, though, Israel Folau does seem to and love the game, and he's playing terrific rugby, and he has done since he switched codes, Jimmy. So look, if the young man's happy playing rugby union and he's playing it particularly well, he's following his dream, he's following his heart.
We would love to see Israel Folau back in the State of Origin arena. We won't. What we will see on Wednesday night at Suncorp Stadium, Ray, is I think
it's
the most important game in State of Origin that we've had
since last
mate, no, maybe since 2005 when New South Wales won up there to clinch the... Like, it's just a massive game. The storylines, the threads that run through it are amazing.
You going up, Jim?
Yeah, I am.
Wow.
I've never been to an Origin game at Suncorp. I'm going up there. I'm so excited.
I went to the old Lang Park once, but they say that Suncorp Stadium is just an amazing venue to watch rugby league now, and what an atmosphere it's going to be on Wednesday night, Jim.
Can the ageing Queenslanders go to the well one more time? Do the young legs of New South Wales have what it takes to win the Shield?
Which way are you going,
Oh,
Jim?
God. It's like, you look at it in football terms.
We both went Queensland and Melbourne.
Yeah.
We got it wrong.
How silly. How silly are we? Mm. But Laurie Daly came out and said, okay, this is how we're going to play.
Mm.
And you saw the way the Blues played. Do the Blues have the courage to play that way again at Suncorp Stadium? That's going to be the question.
It's going to be tough.
Is Cooper Cronk the difference?
He will be, I think. He's such a
great player. Going Queensland again?
No, I haven't said that. Oh. I say he'll make a big difference to Queensland. You've got to go with your heart. You've got to go with New South Wales and the decider. So, but Jimmy, I'll have to text you the scores because
what was that?
Massive clash on Wednesday night.
Test.
Yes. Cardiff, first test. You're going to miss the first ball, the first test of an Ashes series.
You've never done it?
I don't think I've ever done a view, Jim.
Oh, I can't remember.
It'd be a long,
I can't
long
remember,
time.
Yeah. All right, solve the problem. How do we watch the Ashes and watch Suncorp?
I've worked it out.
Oh, okay, here we go.
About a 10 or 15-minute window before the kickoff, so you can flick across, quickly watch the first couple of overs of the Ashes on Jim, and flick it back to watch kickoff.
Shouldn't Channel 9 offer on their third digital channel, the Origin, and then
split
a little
vision.
Inset
split
of the Ashes split vision.
Mm.
I that's how I think you could do it. And then you had the choice of going, which one do you want in the little box and which one? Oh, look, there's GI's making a run. Quick, switch it to the big box. And what do you reckon?
I love your idea, Jim. That sounds like something that I would do. And I'm in a real dilemma at the moment, Jimmy, because I cannot find my ABC cricket book. The little cricket books you have prior to a test series. You know, the scoreboards in the back, and I fill them out. I've looked everywhere in the last week. I can't find it.
I know exactly the book you're looking for, Ray.
Have you seen them?
And you've got massive problems. 1353 53 is the open line number. 0419 SMS BSB if you want to send us a text message. 0419 767272. Let us know if you've seen Ray's ABC cricket book with a forward too by Jimmy Maxwell.
I've filled them out since 74, 75.
There'd be a forward from Jimmy Maxwell too, innit?
Back then, I have to go back and have a look now. Yeah. I haven't missed an Ashes series in all that time. I've missed a few other series.
Yeah, right.
This is pretty sad.
The ones from Pakistan, of course, yeah. And if you want to send a tweet, at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND. Unbelievable revelations. Solve the problem for us on Wednesday night. What do? Watch the Ashes, watch the Origin. How do we watch both? 1353 53.
TK here. You love backing with us. You love your racing. Well, so do we. Don't forget to join us Monday mornings for Punters Postmortem. Call us on 13 53 53 and chat with the best racing experts in the business. There's a $50 tab voucher up for grabs for the best caller. Monday mornings from 9 a.m. right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
John Farnham and Olivia Newton-John, two strong hearts live. 20 unforgettable hits. Recorded live with Philharmonia Australia, including 16 stunning duets. Experience two legends together on one stage. John Farnham and Olivia Newton-John. Two strong hearts out now.
If you're serious about cycling, you're not that serious if you haven't visited Bates Bikes. Now at 273 Princess Highway, Carlton, it's well worth the visit.
For Bates Bikes Carlton, here's Mike Tomalaris with all the latest on the Tour de France.
Oh, this time of the year, we love talking to Mike Tomalaris from SBS. His SBS is everywhere, man.
Yes.
The dulcet tones of Mike Tomalaris. And, of course, good news for Australia. We wake up with Rowan Dennis claiming the yellow jersey in that time trial win. Great to speak to Mike this morning. G'day, Mike.
Oh, g'day, Jimmy. So good to talk to you this morning, especially after a great start to the Tour de France. An Aussie victory in the time trial. Rowan Dennis, as you say, gets the stage win, and he's going to wear the yellow jersey, just the seventh Australian in Tour de France history. So a little bit of history being created on the streets of Holland today for the Tour.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. And I think we start out of the Dutch city of Utrecht, if I pronounce it correctly, Mike.
Yeah, well, you can say Utrecht, but I've been taught by the locals that it's Utrecht.
Okay.
You know how the Dutch sort of spit their words?
That's it.
I've been sprayed all weekend.
I'll let you go there, Mike. But, Mike, as you said, a great start for Australia and Rowan Dennis winning the first time trial. Can he keep the yellow jersey after stage two tonight?
Well, that's a big question. Before I answer that question, let's just talk about today. Look, when you take into account what he did, let me just explain. 14 kilometres was the individual time trial. Not long, and tailor-made for someone like Rowan. Now, these are the riders that he beat. Tony Martin, now a German, a multi-world champion in this particular discipline, an Olympic champion. Fabian Cancellara, a specialist when it comes to this discipline over these distances in grand tours like the Tour de France. He's won numerous events. And Tom Dumoulin, the local, the Dutchman, whose season revolved around success and winning this stage one at the Tour de France today. He smashed them all. And not only did Rowan Dennis win, he won by a considerable margin. When you look at a race like this over just 14 kilometres, you expect to win by 1, maybe 2 seconds. It's only short. Rowan defeated second place Tony Martin and Fabian Cancellara by 5 and 6 seconds, respectively. Now, this guy Rowan, Jimmy, is quite incredible. He won the Tour Down Under in January. He followed it up in February by smashing the world hour record. And here he is now, following in the footsteps so far of Cadel Evans, our only Tour de France winner. And he's in the same team as Cadel was. Cadel obviously retired now. But Rowan, at just 25 years of age, I think has got a huge future. Whether he can win a Tour de France, we'll have to wait and see. He's still very young. But the signs really look good. As for stage two tomorrow, the weather forecast tells us that it's going to be very windy. They head to the west coast or the coastal areas of the Netherlands. And from talking to Henk Vogels, who's on our coverage, a man of Dutch heritage, he knows these areas very well, the former Aussie champion, and he says that there's the potential or the possibility that the peloton could be split as a result of the high winds that are expected. Now, Rowan Dennis doesn't like the windy conditions, so he'll have a bit of a struggle trying to hang on to this yellow jersey.
And by the way, if Mike doesn't pronounce Utrecht the correct way, they rip up his SBS contract. You understand that. So he's under all sorts of pressure.
Les Murray taught me everything I know.
Rowan Dennis, we spoke to him in January, actually, after that Tour Down Under victory, and it was a crazy schedule, wasn't it, that he was then flipped it around to do the one-hour event. He put himself under enormous physical pressure to do that. So he's clearly a pretty special sort of guy, Mike.
Yeah, look, he is. He's from Adelaide in South Australia, and this victory comes off the back of a horrible 24 hours for the people of that city following the passing of Phil Walsh. So, a boost of good news for Adelaide. It's a close-knit community down there. But you're right, Jimmy. He's put a lot of pressure on himself to win Down Under and follow it up 2 weeks later with the World Hour record. it just goes to show that he's got huge ability. Now, some people are asking, has he got the potential to follow in the footsteps of Cadel Evans in the near future? Well, we'll have to wait and see. He's still young. Now, Cadel won the Tour de France 4 years ago at the age of 33. Rowan is still just 25. And they say that riders who do conquer three-week races sort of take time to mature. They're in their early 30s. Or perhaps just a little bit younger. So he's got time on his side, Rowan. He's winning week-long races. He can win stages. He can wear leaders' jerseys. Whether he can win a three-week race, time will tell. I hope he does sooner rather than later.
Mike, 10 Australians in the Tour de France this year. We've concentrated on Rowan Dennis. A couple of big guns amongst that 10, though. Can the Australians make their presence felt over the next month?
Yeah, look, Ray, 10 Australians have started the Tour today. And I honestly believe that each and every one of them has the ability, the potential to win stages, to wear the leaders' jerseys, we've already seen that, and to be influential to their respective team leaders. I'll give you a couple of names. Simon Gerrans.
Yep.
His time may come later in week one. Orica Green Edge are certainly targeting success in week one. You've got Michael Matthews, who wore the leaders' jersey at the Tour of Italy just 6 weeks ago. Other riders include Adam Hansen, the man from Cairns in Queensland. He's actually competing. He's broken all records by competing in his 12th consecutive three-week race.
Wow.
It's never been done before in the history of world cycling. He is an absolute animal, and we respect him highly as for that. So whether he can snag a stage, I'd like to think he does. He has won stages in Grand Tours before. Nathan Haas, the boy from Canberra, making his debut and is there for the Canadian, his Canadian team leader, Ryder Hesjedal. So look, Australian cycling is in a very healthy place. And then every time I speak to you guys at Sky Radio, I get very excited because I know that the sport is going northwards rather than southwards every time I speak to you. And today was another clear indication of that.
Richie Port and Luke Durbridge, other Aussies taking part. In fact, Orica Green Edge, three Aussie riders in that one. How is that team viewed by the other teams, Mike? None of them in the top 10 overall time classification for the individuals today. Are they a realistic chance of challenging on a tour like this?
No.
Yeah.
They're not. Look, and what I mean by that, Jimmy, is they will never win a Grand Tour. They won't have a rider that will ride under the Arc de Triomphe in Paris in 3 weeks' time, and that's unfortunate. They have to get a GC rider, a rider who can win a three-week race. At the moment, they've got Simon Gerrans and Michael Matthews and other riders in that squad who are terrific talent. They can win stages. They can win or snare the leaders' jerseys in the first week, but they can't get themselves an overall victory after 3 weeks. There's talk about Richie Port going to Orica Green Edge when his contract runs out this year. I can't see that. I'm hearing whispers that Richie might end up at BMC. In 2016. I think that would be a wise move for Richie. I don't exactly know where Orica Green Edge are going. They've been around now for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
They need a rider who can win a Grand Tour. And they're going to have to purchase and buy and look out at the marketplace as soon as possible. The market or the window opens on the 1st of August.
Mike, look, great to have you, Mike. And look, exciting opening stage for Australia. We'd love to talk to you again over the next month through until July 26th when the Tour de France finishes. And thanks for joining us, Mike.
No problem, Ray. Good to talk to you, Jimmy.
Good on you, Mike. Mike Tomalaris there, SBS's finest. Of course, you can watch all of the Tour de France in high definition.
Isn't it great to watch?
On
too?
SBS.
Countryside's amazing, Jim.
It is. It is spectacular. 0419 SMSBSB 0419 767 272. If you want to send us in a text message, Ray Shane Watson did bowl in the second innings against Essex. Six overs, three maidens, none for 15. That's
he
from
hasn't
Shane.
Bowled much, has he? That's the problem.
Shane also said, Jimmy, you don't suspend a match that had never started and share the points. It's cancelled or abandoned. Cheers from same Shane. Sorry about that, Shane.
He's on the ball, good on you, Shane.
Yeah, good on you, Shane.
Shane should get something for that.
He's a young Tom from Sylvania in the making, I think.
Is Shane a John Farn, Olivia Newton John fan?
He is now. We're going to send him out that one. Good on you, Shane. There you go. We got that one too. And this one. I like this one, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Boys.
ABC cricket book, please. Surely you can do it online. And I thought I was old, Paul from Wagga.
I just love doing it.
CD, Paul.
CD Paul.
Coming your
What's
way.
What's he want? Does he want the Stars from 00 or something?
We'll get him the Stars from 00. News coming up next after the news, John O'Shea.
Kim Cartwright. The Adelaide Crows are expected to name a replacement for slain AFL coach Phil Walsh today. The Crows were to host Geelong this afternoon at Adelaide Oval, but that game has been abandoned. The Oval in the city centre will be opened around the scheduled game time. Adelaide hierarchy and players are again expected to converge on their West Lakes headquarters, which has become a shrine to Walsh. Cy Jacob Walsh entered no plea at a bedside court hearing in the Flinders Medical Centre on Friday and will remain in custody until a September 15 court date. A teenager has been charged after a Queensland woman was left with critical injuries when she was hit in the head. The 23-year-old woman was rushed to hospital in the early hours of yesterday morning, and an 18-year-old man who was known to her has since been arrested. The man has been charged with one count of grievous bodily harm and is due in court tomorrow. Almost 100 mayors from around the world have arrived in Brisbane for a four-day summit with a heavy stress on serious business. The mayors are among delegates from 135 cities attending the 2015 Asia-Pacific Cities Summit and Mayors Forum, which runs until Wednesday. Urbanisation will be among the topics up for debate at the event, with guest speakers to include London Olympics Organising Committee Chairman Lord Sebastian Coe and Zuckerberg Media Chief Executive Randy Zuckerberg. Hundreds of junior surfers are expected to return to waters off northern New South Wales despite a shark sighting and attack. The Skullcandy Ozgrom Open proceeded without incident at Lennox Head yesterday, but fears were reinforced in the afternoon when a news helicopter spotted a 4-metre shark at nearby Byron Bay. The sighting came 2 days after bodyboarder Matthew Lee was nearly killed in an attack off nearby Ballina. Air and sea patrols will continue to scour the area. Investigations are continuing into a blaze at a Sydney wharf that destroyed two luxury boats worth $2 million. The 40-foot vessels, a cruiser and a yacht, were destroyed in the fire at Woolloomooloo's Finger Wharf early yesterday. Detectives believe the blaze was deliberately lit and questioned a 24-year-old before releasing him without charge. The vessels will be salvaged in coming days after police divers have had the chance to inspect the wreckage. The Islamic State group has released a video showing 25 Syrian government soldiers being executed by teenagers or children. The video apparently shows an execution in the ancient amphitheatre in Palmyra shortly after the city was taken by jihadists on May 21. It shows soldiers in green and brown military uniforms being shot dead on the amphitheatre's stage in front of an enormous version of the group's black and white flag. The executioners all appear to be children or teenagers. US President Barack Obama should reconsider the decision to pull almost all the country's troops out of Afghanistan by 2017, the head of the US Senate Armed Services Committee has urged. Speaking in Afghanistan, Senator John McCain said the withdrawal should be based on conditions on the ground, not on a calendar.
The Taliban continue in their offensive, and they have proven that they cannot defeat the Afghan army. But they've also proven that they are capable, even in the non-fighting season, to continue their attacks in all parts of Afghanistan, including the capital.
His visit took place on the day Afghanistan's parliament failed to approve President Ghani's nomination as defence minister. Also in news, several flights from Australia to Bali have been cancelled due to a volcanic ash cloud. This is Air News. Ryan Harris's cricket career is over with the Australian paceman's degenerative knee forcing him to retire. Selectors have summoned Pat Cummins to England as a replacement. 35-year-old Harris had been determined to feature in the Ashes, having spent the past 6 months on a carefully managed fitness program in an effort to be fully prepared for the tour. Poland's Agnieszka Radwanska has ended Casey Dellacqua's Wimbledon campaign with a ruthless straight sets third round win at the All England Club. Radwanska, the 13th seed and 2012 finalist, has outclassed Australian Dellacqua 6-1, 6-4 in just 63 minutes. To NRL, and North Queensland has managed a rare victory without Jonathan Thurston, getting up 18-12 over St George Illawarra in Wollongong. Dragons coach Paul McGregor told Macquarie it's tough without the Origin stars.
It was always going to be a tough night. We had 9 players in our regular side not playing, and you know, 10 guys start of the year in the New South Wales Cup. And, you know, it's a bit of a tough week for all.
The Western Bulldogs have held off Carlton to win their AFL match by 11 points. First gamer Caleb Daniels starred in the second half as the Bulldogs took out a scrappy game, 9-10-64 to 7-11-53. The two teams formed a huddle in the middle of the ground after the final siren to remember Adelaide coach Phil Walsh, who died on Friday in tragic circumstances. It's expected Adelaide Crows will name his replacement today. Australian Independent Radio News.
Today's sports report brought to you by Builders Steel Direct, the lintel specialist. Best lintels, T-bars and arch bars at best prices. BuildersSteelDirect.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Weather here for the Sydney area, sunny, areas of morning frost in the west, light winds, a maximum of 18 degrees and 0% chance of rain. Looking around other locations, a top temperature of 17 degrees expected in Bondi.
On your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
There's about 10 suburbs there to read here, and Ginny's gone right to the bottom and found Bondi.
Well, hang on.
Is that for lovely Tracy, just so she can wake up and know?
No, she's not in Bondi at the moment. No, she's down the coast with the family. So
why not say Penrith 17? Liverpool 17. Terry Hill's 15. Yeah. Richmond 17, Paramount. And right now it's only about 6 degrees outside, Jimmy, so it's been a cold start to the day.
13:53:53, double pass to give away to our best callers today, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. And remember, these tickets are valid at Event Cinemas at Bondi Junction, Burwood, Campbelltown, Castle Hill, George Street, Glendale, Hornsby, Liverpool, Macquarie, Parramatta, Top Ryde City, and of course at the Birch, Carroll and Coyle Theatres at Coffs Harbour and Lismore. So we might even send a double pass up to Dean Bulldog Ritchie, see if there's anyone up at Coffs Harbour he wants to take to the movies.
I'll leave that to you.
Okay.
Jimmy, our first question for the $50 TAB voucher. Remember how this works?
Yes.
Every half hour or so we'll ask a question, and then after 9:30 call in with three correct answers and you win the TAB $50 voucher for the day.
We were supposed to do this before the news.
You've
come up with a very good question, Raymond. Fire away.
Who's wearing the yellow jersey after stage one of the Tour de France overnight?
We nearly wanted to make it who, how does Mike Tomolaris pronounce Ultreet?
Yeah, I can't pronounce it, so I won't go there.
But we couldn't do that one. Good morning, Ray. I have also been looking for the ABC cricket book, but no luck. Also, on Wednesday night, if it rains for 2 hours, we can watch both. Regards, the bunny from Wong.
Okay, the bunny from Wong, selection for him.
That's pretty good. Well done,
thanks
bunny
for
from
the
Wong.
If anyone knows these ABC cricket books, they're all sold out, Jimmy. See, that's why they're so popular.
Probably.
They're
they would be popular. A popular niche market, but popular run there. And then Charlie. No, it is a niche market. Let's accept it. Charlie.
That's a little dig at the side.
It's not a little dig. Charlie has sent us a tweet at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND. Ashes and Origin is a dilemma. Mm. Like Hawkins in one room and Kerr in... Okay. Thank you, Charles. We get the sentiment that you're expressing
That. You know, what do you do?
What do you do?
You can't miss the opening overs of the Ashes series, but you can't miss Origin 3 the decider at Suncorp.
13:53:53.
I'll have to text you, Jimmy.
Yeah, all right. We're going to get a solution here from EJ, I think. Hello, EJ.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Really
morning,
well. EJ. What do you got for us?
Well, you can set up your own split screen. Everybody's got a big TV these days.
Yep. Yeah.
They've got a portable in the bedroom somewhere.
Yeah.
Set up beside the big screen.
Yeah.
Set up one channel on one and one channel on the other. Put the little one on mute. Switch it both off the other channel, so you've just got to use the recall button when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Start watching, say, the league.
Yeah.
And the try is scored, and it goes to the video ref.
Yeah.
You know you've got 5 minutes to watch.
That's a good point.
The recall button and go put the cricket on the big one.
And if the wicket falls, you can turn the sound up. Good idea. That might be me.
Well, and if the wicket falls, you automatically flick to the cricket on the small screen, and therefore the sound will automatically come up.
Yeah.
Tell
great
you what,
idea,
EJ. Mate, have you got a CV we could submit to Channel 9, maybe? That's a great idea. Good on you, mate.
That's the way out.
Yeah. I tell you what, EJ, you stay on the line, mate. We're going to send you out a CD. What have you got there? Something at the double O's there, Ray?
The noughties. You followed me into that one too. What about Ultimate Country Selection? We'll do that one.
All right, Ultimate Country Selection coming your way, EJ. You stay on the line, mate. You stay on the line. Great day yesterday from a racing perspective.
We've got to get this back on track, Jimmy. We are struggling this morning.
I'll tell you how we get it back on track. With John O'Shea.
And Houseman, most impressive in the Civic Stakes yesterday.
Two Blues looking for another all-the-way winner. Leads from Dance on Stars and the favourite Dothraki strides up three deep. Then Houseman further back to Refer, Royal Island and Estonian Princess down the outside. Two Blue is the leader. Houseman scraping paint. Blake Shin gets stuck into Dothraki now at a top weight. It's got a left a bit. Houseman goes up the inside of Two Blue. Houseman and Two Blue. Houseman putting its head in front from Two Blue. Under extreme pressure, Houseman and a war down Two Blue. See the World got up to run third just in front of Dothraki Refer.
And Houseman capped what has been an outstanding debut season, Jimmy, for John O'Shea at Godolphin. His first full year almost coming to an end at the helm at Godolphin. And I think he can reflect on a job well done. John, good morning and congratulations on firstly Houseman and the season for the stable at large as well.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. It's great to be on your popular radio station on Saturday morning.
Well, it's Sunday morning, John. You're probably a bit like us. You're probably a bit punched out after a long weekend. Yeah. But Houseman was great yesterday. And I know you took a fair bit of pleasure out of that win because this horse has been working particularly well at Osborne Park. Just needed, I guess, a dry track, John?
Yeah, Darren walked the track earlier and thought that the rail was, far superior than the rest of it. And, he turned out to be right. And they sort of track wide earlier, but we were confident when he drew soft that we could get to that good part of the ground and utilise it, because whenever he's won at Rose Hill, he's sort of had those beautiful rails runs. Mm. We afforded one of those again yesterday.
So that was actually the plan with Christian, and it wasn't just the fact that it opened up during the course of the race, John?
No, mate. It was a plan with all of them. We only got one executed properly, but it got the result.
John, having Darren Beedman there, not only is a sounding board for various things about racing, but to mentor jockeys, to walk tracks, to help you with the training of horses, it must be a tremendous asset for Godolphin.
Oh, it's an unbelievable asset for our team, and more importantly, though, he's a champion bloke, he's great fun to be around. We laugh plenty, and it makes it a joy to kind of work. Apart from the great surroundings, good people and good horses, he's a great fellow to be around.
What next for Houseman? The winner stakes is mentioned. The 1400 be no problem, John?
Oh, a bit of a risk, Jim.
Right.
His record at 1400, it's only fair. And, he's an old horse, he's in good form. He'd have to draw a good gate like he did yesterday and get a similar run, but I will get him ready and turn up and... you get Christian's going on holidays and he'll get Mac in a fortnight. So, he'll be nice and keen to try and get a few wins up before the end of the season.
Mm, try and clinch that premiership. John, I know I asked you this yesterday, and understanding you've known you for many years, you're a bit of a perfectionist, but I think you can look back on the year and you may say there's room for improvement, but the raw stats are there. Three Group 1s, 165 races, 26 stakes races, 31 two-year-old wins, over $11 million prize money. It's a pretty good year overall.
Yeah, look, it's nice. I suppose the best barometer as to how we're going is the amount of criticism we cop sort of diminished as the year went on. So that's always a nice sign. And, I think it was a good foundation, and we won't rest on our laurels, and got a beautiful team of horses coming through, and an understanding. My staff now have an understanding as to how we like to do things, and hopefully that lays a good foundation for the rest of the next season.
What's the thing, now that you've had a year, what's the thing that surprised you most about the job that you've been asked to do with Godolphin?
Probably how much I didn't know when I started.
Right.
After having a year here, when I reflect back as to, what we were doing for the first part of last season, after having a year and having an understanding of the horses now and the system and the facilities that we have, you know, oh, mate, when I think back to what I was doing this time last year, it was a bit embarrassed. But anyway, we've got through it, and you know, we've got plenty of room for improvement, but we're, you know, satisfied that we've got through the year in an acceptable level.
Mm. John, Contributor and Hartnell, you mentioned them as the two that really excite you going into the new season. They're back in work, and how are they progressing towards their spring campaigns?
Probably about a week or faster work. Mm-hmm. Ray, we're sort of going to leave both horses to, you know, peak in the latter part of the season, hopefully. And, look, they're just furnished up and strengthened up, and, you know, they've had that 12 months in Australia now, and so, you know, just understandably, they're stronger and happier, and they've been in the routine. And
their programs, John, their race programs, will they be Sydney early doors? Or?
Hartnell will,
yep.
But I think with Contributor, I think he likes his run spaced, so he'll probably just have two runs into a Cox Plate.
Right.
And probably just run first up in the Fenn or the Dardo Chan.
Around the valley,
and
yep.
run in the Turnbull and then into the Cox Plate.
Mm-hmm.
Hartnell will start, you know, in a mile, late freight race here, George Main, and probably, or the Chelmsford, and then probably have a couple of runs here, and then four runs into a Melbourne Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys travelling all right, John?
Oh, Jimmy, I've been desperate for you to ask.
That's a good win last night.
Yeah, no, they got they're going fantastic. Paul Green's got them flying.
Yeah,
I got to admit, I am frightfully worried about your crew and the dogs that Desi has. He's got a touch of Bart Cummings about him.
He trains them
at the right end of the season, and they were awesome on Monday night. But we're going along good, and I suppose, you know, it's all relevant now to injuries. And,
yep.
But it's a very exciting time of the year for football, isn't it?
And just quickly,
absolutely.
John, Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, God give him strength. We've got Cooper back, albeit on one leg, and, you know, we're at the cauldron. So,
spoken
all no fears. That Wednesday night there, Raymond, it'll be all over.
Spoken like a true Queenslander there, Jimmy.
Look at that. Do you wear the Origin jersey around on Wednesday at track work?
No, I don't do that. I mean, I spend a fair bit of time indoctrinating my children into the benefits of being Queenslander. As they get older, they tend to shy away from it. But I've got a little bloke, he's solid, he's stuck with Dad.
just quickly, you could probably run us through, what are the benefits of being a Queenslander, John?
The main benefit, Jimmy, is that you don't have to wear blue at State of Origin.
very good. Wear blue every other time, though, of course, John.
Exactly, especially when the boss is in.
Exactly.
Terrific, John. Look, thanks for joining us. Great season you've had, and let's hope that success continues into the new season come August. Thanks so much, John.
Yeah, have a good weekend, boys.
Thanks.
John O'Shea there, fantastic effort he's done with Godolphin. He did have some criticisms early on, but I tell you what, you went through it today in your punter lift out in the Sunday Telegraph. Three Group 1s, the 31 two-year-old race wins, so the stable has got some strength and, of course, depth, and that's what you'd expect with Godolphin. It's interesting he noted there that, you know, he looks back at what he was doing a year ago and thinks, oh, you know, I wish I didn't do that.
Yeah.
But that's the learning process, isn't it?
And you can hear in his voice too and his demeanour, the enjoyment factor.
Yeah, right.
They obviously, success brings happiness and joy, but he's enjoying that role, and it'd be high pressure. It's high stakes there, Jim.
Mm, absolutely. 13:53:53. High stakes here today too. We've got Event Cinemas double passes to give away. That's courtesy of Event Cinemas Parramatta. We've got our tab question. That's tab quiz goes all the way up to 10 o'clock. And, of course, we've got our Z&Z quiz. So high stakes on offer here, the Big Sports Breakfast weekend.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m, the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
The hottest stars on the planet. A collection of great songs from some of the hottest stars in country music. Featuring O'Shea, Tim McGraw and Chris Young. There's Dolly Parton, Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood. Also Willie Nelson, Lee Bryce and Miranda Lambert. Troy Cassidaly and Adam Harvey. The Hottest Stars on the Planet is a must for any country collection.
Right now is the perfect time to enjoy Coco Joy's range of all-natural coconut-based products. Let me tell you, there is no better refresher than the Coco Joy 100% coconut water. This is great stuff. You haven't had the water yet, have you, Roman?
Love the water.
Oh, you've had the water. Oh, you haven't had the milk?
No. Love the water.
It's very good, the water. It's naturally sweet and chock full of... You know, I was accused by producer Jeremy of having having Coco Joy water in my bag on Friday.
Well,
he wanted to do a search of the bag.
Well, I would suggest the facts are very much in Jeremy's favour. We don't see any of that fine product.
Can I suggest to you, the facts were not in favour of Jeremy. It was my cup here from the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, our metal cup that we have to use.
I'm still backing Jeremy, and we haven't seen this fine product for some weeks now. I think it's going straight to the J. Smith household at Bondi.
It's naturally sweet and chock full of goodness, and there's no nasties like added sugar, preservatives or concentrates. Compared with other typical sports drinks, it also contains higher levels of potassium, fewer calories and less sodium, which all assist with recovery after exercise. Great news if you're into your sport or always on the move. Run for you this morning, Ray?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Coco Joy 100% coconut water is also dairy, gluten and soy free. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy at a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
Surf and Safari's been off the track. Achilles 2's got plenty of room to go through on the fence. And Bambra, given a rev up, is starting to come down the outside of the course. Let's Make It Rain, just the leader from Surf and Safari. Vambra's charming in, and Achilles 2 on the rails. Surf and Safari and Bambra the outside. Achilles 2, Let's Make It Rain. Surf and Safari and Bambra have drawn clear. Surf and Safari with Race Fitness with his head in front. And Surf and Safari beats Bambra. Third, wait out. Stalwart's closed off and Rambler Bay on the fence. Close up Achilles.
He's been an underrated horse, this bloke, Jimmy. Surf and Safari. He's had 6 starts this prep, 4 wins, 2/3. I think only 2 other 2-year-olds this season have won 4 races. One of those has been Vancouver, and he's a horse on the rise. And Paul Perry, the trainer, his son Nathan, who's looking after the stable at the moment, has been good enough to join us. Nathan, good morning. And he's a promising colt, Surf and Safari.
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Yeah, he is, mate. He's a real competitor and a real trier, and it's been a pleasure to train.
Gee, you had to do it the hard way too, Nathan, yesterday, 3 wide, and still found the power to get to the line too. So that must have been something that pleased you.
Yeah, it was. I was saying some unwanted words under my breath before the turn, I can tell you. I knew he's fit, and he's such a competitor, this horse. He's a real trier. I thought when Blake ranged up, it was all over. He knuckled down and he really tried hard, and he's got the makings of a nice horse.
Yeah, Nathan, your brother Shannon made the point that if it was another jockey, he might have been more worried. But Shannon said that Thomas Huey has consistently, in recent months, sort of sat wide on horses, but still has been able to get them home. They seem to find something under pressure for Thomas.
Yeah, he's just a lovely balance rider. Mm. With a few in the provincials here, he sat 3 wide, and I haven't got much hair, so I don't have to pull much hair. But they just keep running for him. And we've had a lot of success with him, so it's been great.
What do you think next on the plans for Surf and Safari, Nathan? Have you spoken to your old man about that?
Look, he rang last night, and he was very happy, of course, and I spoke to Heath, the owner, and we're just going to ease up and hopefully target something later in Melbourne for him.
Mm. He's a promising horse, and a couple other horses yesterday really caught my eye, Nathan. Ghost Protocol looks like he's fourth up next start. He's really starting to improve his form. He was a good fourth there yesterday in Sir Mako's race. And Demeister, this German stayer, he just keeps improving every time he steps out.
Yeah, that's right. I think Ghost, it's going to be a nice prep for him. He's come back lovely, and his 3 runs have been great, but they're gradually getting better as he gets fitter. So I think next time around, in the right race, he should be thereabouts. And Demeister, he just keeps getting better as each start he has. So I think there's a race in a fortnight for him, so hopefully he does all right and we head that way.
Terrific. Yeah, the stable is absolutely humming along at the moment, Nathan. I got the 83 wins for the season, and in the last couple of months are churning out the winners all over the place. So, look, Nathan, thanks for joining us this morning on Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, and congratulations with a promising 2-year-old in Surf and Safari.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Nathan. Nice horse, Jimmy. And that stable consistently produces top-class sprinters. It's amazing.
And Thomas Huey is riding a lot of those winners too, isn't he?
He's combined
really well. I think we spoke to Paul probably about a month ago.
We did after Wouldn't It Be Nice won the June Stakes.
And we got him after Wouldn't It Be Nice. And then he had another winner the following week.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And he was still looking for the Frog's Leg last time I spoke to him.
Didn't someone give us a tip, though, on the program?
Was it Paddington somewhere?
There was a place at Paddington. I hope we pass that on to Thomas. I don't know whether Anthony Gaffer from Bloodstock Auction likes his Frog's Legs, but we can ask him. Yeah. G'day, Anthony.
Hey, boys. How are we?
Yeah. Frog's Legs for you?
No, mate. Horse Legs. Just
Fair enough. Sounds good. All right. 113 horses. What an amazing result. This catalogue just keeps getting bigger and bigger on bloodstockauction.com.
Yeah, it sure does, guys. We're happy with the way things are going there. We definitely, good numbers there, 113, and the stock's quite nice as well, which helps.
Mm. Anthony, what's the common reason why people are starting to use your online facility more and more than, say, the traditional auction methods?
I think most people are recognising that, it's quite cost effective. Horses stay home. Mm-hmm. They're not having to move to the sales ring, especially some of these horses that are coming on now. They're seeing that they are moving on a certain date. They know that the final countdown occurs on Tuesday, so that's the date they can commit to. I think more that the saving of the money and the upfront costs in having to move the horse.
I'm going to put you on the spot. How long have you been going, Anthony? And have you got a number that can show month-on-month growth? Because it'd be pretty spectacular, I'd reckon.
Yeah, look, it's probably fair to say... put me on the spot. Probably fair to say it's growing about 15-20%, because I know we were hovering around the 40s, and then it went to 50s and 60s, 70s, and then we had a big jump between the last one, which was 70, so we sort of had like a 30% growth from the last one in numbers.
Yep.
We still do have to get them away. Obviously, we've got to make sure we maintain our clearance rate. But from the last sale to this one's 35%, which is a good number. I think on average as well, probably around about 20% in taking this one into account. So, definitely it's constantly growing. And we've got to be careful too. We don't want just numbers. It's about maintaining the quality as well.
Sure.
Well, on that theme, Anthony, specific catalogues, are there some highlight lots amongst them?
Yeah, there are some nice lots in there. They've got some nice mares in there. We sure do have some nice mares in there. Some mares from the family of Smoke and Joey and Schwarzier and Infold of Schwarzier. And there's definitely some that will cop a bit of money, I think, this time around.
Yeah, right. And you've secured another multiple group winning stallion in Dreamscape.
This is a coup, Jimmy.
So you can buy the entire stallion?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, we are very fortunate to have secured Dreamscape. Guri wanting to replace the stallion or sell him, not replace him, sell him, and he's there up for grabs. So, one of our lucky members can actually purchase the whole stallion in Dreamscape.
Gee, that's extraordinary, Jimmy. He's throwing a lot of winners. He'll go for big bucks. Anthony, look, terrific, and another busy week coming up for you. Thanks for joining us this morning, Anthony.
Appreciate your time again, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Anthony.
Yeah, great service, isn't it? Bloodstockauction.com. Bloodstockauction.com. Check it out. Now you've got to check out the scratchings around New South Wales for today. Good morning to you, Tanya.
Morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales in Grafton, at Grafton, and at Canberra in the ACT. We'll start with Grafton, where the weather is fine. The track is a soft 5. The rail is true, and there are 24 scratchings. Out of the first take, 8 set the stage. 10, Hussey Rockstar. 11, Magic Train Ride. 15, My Boy Solito. And 16, Laredo Hustler. 8, 10, 11, 15 and 16. Race 2, take out 3, Just Never Know. 16, Orchid Avenue. 17, Platinum Grey. And 18, Screaming Impulse. 3, 16, 17 and 18. Race 3, number 1, Arrow. 16, Silent Fire. 17, No More, 10 More. And 18, Lady with Spurs. 1, 16, 17 and 18. Out of the force, take 3, Cheering. Cheering from race 4. Race 5, Take Out 15, Blinken Rules, 16, Kai Spell, 17, Varakel, and 18, Sheeta Gal, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Race 6, number 5, Take Out Avalanches, 5 from race 6, and out of the 7th, Take 7, Royal Roulette, 10, Surprise Star, 17, Agus Town, 18, Enchanty, and 19, Melwood, 7, 10, 17, 18, and 19. To Canberra, where the weather is fine, the track is a soft 5, the rail is out 9 metres, the entire circumference and penetrometer 5.18, and there are 9 scratchings. Out of the first, Take 10, State the Obvious, 10 from race 1, race 2 is clear, race 3, number 3, Nick's Best, 3 from race 3. Out of the fourth, Take 3, Royal Amati, and 9, Going Kentucky, 3 and 9. Race 5, number 2, We Are Young, 2 from race 5. Race 6, 4, Little Chief, and 5, Poor Corner. 4 and 5 from the 6, and out of race 7, Take 6, Leper Brenner, and 7, Lavington Star, 6 and 7 from race 7 to Ray.
Terrific. Well, a couple of quick selections. Jimmy, Grafton, race 6, number 3, Darcy Magic, best horse in the race in the South. Grafton Cup should be hard to beat.
Hang on a minute, I've got my form guide here. Race 6, number 3.
Yeah, and in Canberra, race 1, number 8, Unyielding. What time are you at the club this afternoon?
I don't know. Race 6, 3:33. That might be a bit early. What's the Canberra one?
Race 1, number 8, Unyielding. That's the bank for the afternoon, Jimmy.
It's the banker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I won't be there at 12:46, that there are other options to explore.
Understand.
In terms of getting a bet on. 13:53:53 is the open line number, and this has come in from Ron. I often wonder how the horse feels when only the owners, trainer and jockey receive the trophies after a big race win. To be honest, Ron, I hadn't given that much thought myself, but it's something we can discuss in the next hour, along with Dean Bulldog Richie.
I'm Kim Cartwright. The Adelaide Crows are expected to name a replacement for slain AFL coach Phil Walsh today. The Crows were to host Geelong this afternoon at Adelaide Oval, but that game has been abandoned. The Oval in the city centre will be opened around the scheduled game time. Adelaide hierarchy and players are again expected to converge on their Westlakes headquarters, which has become a shrine to Walsh. Si Jacob Walsh entered no plea at a bedside court hearing in the Flinders Medical Centre on Friday and will remain in custody until a September 15 court date. A teenager has been charged after a Queensland woman was left with critical injuries when she was hit in the head. The 23-year-old woman was rushed to hospital in the early hours of yesterday morning, and an 18-year-old man who was known to her has since been arrested. The man has been charged with one count of grievous bodily harm and is due in court tomorrow. Almost 100 mayors from around the world have arrived in Brisbane for a four-day summit with a heavy stress on serious business. The mayors are among delegates from 135 cities attending the 2015 Asia-Pacific Cities Summit and Mayors Forum, which runs until Wednesday. Urbanisation will be among the topics up for debate at the event, with guest speakers to include London Olympics Organising Committee Chairman Lord Sebastian Coe and Zuckerberg Media Chief Executive Randy Zuckerberg. Hundreds of junior surfers are expected to return to waters off northern New South Wales despite a shark sighting and attack. The Skullcandy Oz Grom Open proceeded without incident at Lennox Head yesterday, but fears were reinforced in the afternoon when a news helicopter spotted a 4-metre shark at nearby Byron Bay. The sighting came 2 days after bodyboarder Matthew Lee was nearly killed in an attack off nearby Ballina. Air and sea patrols will continue to scour the area. Investigations are continuing into a blaze at a Sydney wharf that destroyed two luxury boats worth $2 million. The 40-foot vessels, a cruiser and a yacht, were destroyed in the fire at Woolloomooloo's Finger Wharf early yesterday. Detectives believe the blaze was deliberately lit and questioned a 24-year-old before releasing him without charge. The vessels will be salvaged in coming days after police divers have had the chance to inspect the wreckage. The Islamic State group has released a video showing 25 Syrian government soldiers being executed by teenagers or children. The video apparently shows an execution in the ancient amphitheatre in Palmyra shortly after the city was taken by jihadists on May 21. It shows soldiers in green and brown military uniforms being shot dead on the amphitheatre's stage in front of an enormous version of the group's black and white flag. The executioners all appear to be children or teenagers.
US President Barack Obama should reconsider the decision to pull almost all the country's troops out of Afghanistan by 2017, the head of the US Senate Armed Services Committee has urged. Speaking in Afghanistan, Senator John McCain said the withdrawal should be based on conditions on the ground, not on a calendar.
The Taliban continue in their offensive, and they have proven that they cannot defeat the Afghan army. But they've also proven that they are capable, even in the non-fighting season, to continue their attacks in all parts of Afghanistan, including the capital.
His visit took place on the day Afghanistan's parliament failed to approve President Ghani's nomination as defence minister. Also in news, several flights from Australia to Bali have been cancelled due to a volcanic ash cloud. This is Air News. Ryan Harris's cricket career is over, with the Australian paceman's degenerative knee forcing him to retire. Selectors have summoned Pat Cummins to England as a replacement. 35-year-old Harris had been determined to feature in the Ashes, having spent the past 6 months on a carefully managed fitness program in an effort to be fully prepared for the tour. Poland's Agnieszka Radwanska has ended Casey Delacroix's Wimbledon campaign with a ruthless straight sets third round win at the All England Club. Radwanska, the 13th seed and 2012 finalist, has outclassed Australian Delacroix 6-1, 6-4 in just 63 minutes. To NRL, and North Queensland has managed a rare victory without Jonathan Thurston, getting up 18-12 over St George Illawarra in Wollongong. Dragons coach Paul McGregor told Macquarie it's tough without the Origin stars.
It's always going to be a tough night. We had 9 players in our regular side not playing, and we had 10 guys start of the year in the New South Wales Cup. And, you know, it's a bit of a tough week for all.
The Western Bulldogs have held off Carlton to win their AFL match by 11 points. First gamer Caleb Daniels starred in the second half as the Bulldogs took out a scrappy game, 9-10-64 to 7-11-53. The two teams formed a huddle in the middle of the ground after the final siren to remember Adelaide coach Phil Walsh, who died on Friday in tragic circumstances. It's expected Adelaide Crows will name his replacement today. Australian Independent Radio News.
Today's sports report brought to you by Builders Steel Direct, the lintel specialist. Best lintels, T-bars and arch bars at best prices. BuildersSteelDirect.com.au. On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Good morning, everybody. And first up, into the airport tunnel, and we've got heavy traffic on the General Holmes Drive, and Mars Street to Airport Drive to the International Terminal is heavy as well, eastbound. Across to Haberfield, where Wattle Street and Ramsey Street, the lights are flashing yellow. And in the city today, special event rolling closures and special event clearways in place for the Reserve Forces Day parade. We'll dispose of leftover household chemicals properly at the next chemical drop-off day, Saturday, July 18, at Sydney Park Depot from 9am to 3:30pm. Go to zerowaste.org.au. That's the latest traffic. Number one in racing, Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
And the weather for today, it's a sunny day in Sydney, maximum of 18. It's been a cool start to the day, still about 6 degrees outside, but across Sydney, Penrith will be 17, Liverpool 17, Richmond 17, Parramatta 17, Campbelltown 17, Terry Hills 15, and Bondi, Jim?
It'll be 17.
Funny about that.
She is out of this world.
There it is! Adam Scott, a life changer.
Coughed it up. Malcheski, snap, and there's your grand final. There's your grand final.
Welcome to the weekend's biggest and best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Let's get into it. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. We've had a great start to the program this morning, the first hour. Well, that's what we told each other in the team meeting, in the ad break. Producer Jeremy came in and pumped us all up. Yeah, great start.
He came in to criticise. Fire up, boys. Yeah. Come on, fire up.
what's new. 1353 53, the open line number. If you want to send an SMS, 0419 SMS BSB, that's 0419 767 272. And of course, you can send a tweet in at Big Sports WEND. Dean Bulldog Richie very shortly. Tony McAvoy we'll have a chat with as well. We'll have our second question for our TAB voucher. That's a $50 voucher courtesy of tab.com.au. We'll have Big Zorb on the line as well for his Zappers. We'll have the Z and Z quiz a little bit later on this hour. And to round out the hour, wow, Laurie Daly, the Blues coach. So lots coming up. Now, we have a concern on Wednesday night. Now, you raised it, Ray, and it's a very good point. What do we do at 8 o'clock?
What do we watch?
The Ashes, the Origin. Well, Master Monkey's come in with an idea here. Master Monkey says, if England take early wickets, I'll watch Origin. If Queensland get early tries, I'll watch cricket. If both happen, I might have a look at Bargain Hunt. That's from Master Monkey.
That's a CD from Master Monkey.
CD from Master Monkey. All right, we better take...
It's a massive dilemma.
Oh, it is a dilemma.
Channel surfing all night.
All night. One man who'll be glued to the rugby league, though, will be our next guest, Dean Bulldog Richie. He joined us on the line live from Coffs Harbour. Hello, Dino.
Good morning, guys.
How is it up there? Weather-wise, I'm talking about, and the impact that's had on the New South Wales preparation.
Yeah, no, it's been spot on up here, Jimmy. Beautiful weather right through. The Blues have a final training session from 10 a.m. Today. That'll go for about probably 2 hours, and then they get a charter flight up to Brisbane where they'll bunker down. They'll have Monday off. They'll have a captain's run at Suncorp on Tuesday, and then obviously game day Wednesday, but they're as ready as they'll ever be. They're in a good mood. They're calm. They're composed, and I think there's a real air of confidence in them, guys, and that comes from, it might have been significant to some, but the way we pushed away from Queensland in the final few minutes down in Melbourne, generally it's the other way around, and you can sort of feel that there's perhaps a shifting of the guard here.
The way we pushed away from Queensland?
As in New South Wales.
Oh, you're part of the team, Dino.
Dino, good morning. Well, he's been ensconced up there at Camp Dino, from your observations, Robbie Farah, how's he shaping up?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Ray. Look, in theory, he should be missing for 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
He's a real tough bugger, Robbie, and he's going to fight till the very end. And I actually spoke to Laurie yesterday afternoon about Robbie trained for the first time yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And look, he said, look, he did a lot more than I expected from him.
Did he do any contact work, though, Dino?
Not a lot. He's got a training session, as I said, again, this morning, Ray. So, quite obviously, Michael Ennis is ready on standby. But, look, you know, it's too hard to call at this stage. But, look, I wouldn't write Robbie off. As I said, he's a tough bloke. He'll go to the very end. And he could play with, you know, pain-killing injections, no doubt. Mm. But also, I guess, there is that little fear that if the bone is displaced early in the match, it could muck up the interchange.
Well, how long do they give him, Dean?
Today.
Okay, good. Because
it's going to be this morning. I chatted to Laurie. He said it'll be today. We can't go any further into the camp. So I reckon by lunchtime we'll have a fair idea of which way they're going to go.
After game two, everyone wanted to talk Dave Clemmer. And you know, the way that he played, it changed his perception by everyone who watches the game. It changed his value on the market. And then he came out and had another barnstorming game for the Bulldogs on Monday night at Belmore. What's he like, Dave Clemmer? Can you give us an insight? Great photo of him as an 11-year-old playing softball yesterday on back page of the Daily Telegraph.
Yeah, no, I've actually spent a bit of time with Clem up here. He's a funny bloke. He's a real good fella. Firstly, Jimmy, let me just dispel the disrespectful line. It's just not true. He's a very respectful young man. He's well-mannered. He's well brought up. And obviously, he's got one baby already, and he's got another one on the way, so he's a family man. But look, he's a bit different, Clem. He's a bit out there. Him and Aaron Woods are very close, and Woodsy's out there a bit as well.
Yeah.
But, no, look, certainly on the field, he's... I spoke to Blocker Roach yesterday, and he said, look, we needed that breath of fresh air. We needed someone to come in and take it to Queensland. It's been on Paul Gallen's shoulders now for probably 6 or 7 years, and suddenly now we've got Woods, Tarmow, and now Clemmer joining the party as to players that can actually take on Queensland, look them in the eye, not be intimidated, and start to bristle up when there's some sort of confrontation. In Origin 1, they put a lot of dirty tactics on Queensland, a lot of niggle, and the Blues bowed in Melbourne. They wouldn't cop it. They didn't, and in the end, as I said, the Blues ran away with the game in the end, and I think at this point, you know, they've got Queensland's measure, but Suncorp Stadium's a different proposition.
Dino, is that, from your
sort of observations of, you've covered many Origin series, but is that the difference this year that New South Wales, even though they're up against this magnificent Queensland team laced with champions, they're no longer intimidated by the names on that playing sheet?
No, they're not, Ray. They're not at all. They haven't been for probably 12 months now. Mm. Look, they're respectful, and most certainly you look through that Queensland side, although Billy Slater is missing, there's three or four, you know, legends of the game in there. But look, I think they're just tired. They tired over many years of being beaten before they ran out.
They
became weary of being intimidated, and sometime, at some point, they said, right, the line in the sand has to be drawn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was drawn last year, and certainly after game one this year, it was 1 point in it. We probably threw that one away.
Mm-hmm.
And in Melbourne, we kicked away from Queensland. But look, yeah, only a fool would write off Queensland at Suncorp with that side. But look, the intimidation's gone, and I really do believe that the old Suncorp Stadium factor is not quite as fearsome as what it used to be 4 or 5 years ago.
I read Josh Dugan's article yesterday. I think they enjoy playing there because of the atmosphere. Mm. You know, yes, it's an intimidating place, but that sometimes brings the best out of certain players, certainly depending on their psychology. Duno, if you had to highlight one player in the squad of 17, who do you think's in for a big game on Wednesday night, based on what you've seen?
Mitchell Pearce.
Yeah, right.
I said last week he's in a really good headspace, Mitchell. He's come into camp this year and really grabbed this team by the scruff of the neck, him and Trent Hodgkinson. They work well together. They've become good friends. And, of course, the bloke we just mentioned, Clemmer. Look, Clemmer knows he's got a target on his back after what's gone on in the first two games. The Queenslanders, I guess, at this point in time, can't understand all the hype about Clemmer.
Yeah.
I'm sure they will in due course. Laurie knows he's got a target on his back. We spoke about this yesterday, but he did say no matter what goes on out there, he won't be alone. It was the attitude they took him to Melbourne, that whatever we do, we go in boots and all, and we go in together. So if something does flare through the Clemmer factor, there'll be blokes left and right.
Mm. Yeah, target on his back. Does that mean that the likes of Woods and Tamo just step up if Queensland are concentrating on Clemmer?
Yeah, absolutely, Ray. Mm. Well, look at Aaron Woods in Melbourne. That was no
Excellent,
doubt
yeah.
his best State of Origin game.
It's a dangerous mindset, isn't it, Dino, just to have the one, quote, target on his back and
talk. Nah, they won't be just
That's
one,
what I mean.
Right?
I can't see
they
it
won't
because
do it.
Woods
no.
and Tamo and Gowan, all those guys, they're all terrific Origin players themselves.
I can't believe Queensland was sooking over Woods using a few expletives on a football field. It's State of Origin, for goodness sake. You don't earn respect by not swearing. You earn it on the field and by your actions and your toughness on the field. But just saying you're being disrespectful, I think, was a ridiculous comment. And again, it shows to me that Queensland's off the bit and that the Blues have got their measure physically and now mentally.
Well, I think Peter Sterling said it best. You don't ask for respect, you earn it. And so that's what Queensland are going to have to do in this third game. What about getting away from State of Origin, Dino? I know you've been ensconced up there at Coffs Harbour. Any other news coming out of Clubland? Finally, Kieran Foran been able to settle where he is going to be playing after this year?
Yeah, he was actually on my list here, Jimmy. I think you'll find in the end, look, he stayed at Parramatta. We expected that to happen, but I think you'll find in the end there really wasn't a lot of other options for Kieran Foran.
They were trying.
Yeah, he wasn't going to go to Canterbury from what I understand, and Dez was in there from what we read.
Dez was trying hard.
He always does, yeah.
Yeah.
The Roosters, I spoke to a few officials out there, they said they didn't have the money. Manly was sort of on the edges, I guess, in hoping to retain him, but I think in the end it really came down to the money on offer from Parramatta was just too good, and I don't think he was ever seriously going to leave. You know, in the last week or so, I think it was always going to be Parramatta. Now, the continuing talk about Greg Bird going to the Raiders, I can say that, look, it just won't happen. So if you read or see that on social media, Bird won't be going to the Canberra Raiders, I can guarantee you that. And there was speculation during the week that Manly had, in fact, told Jeff Tuvey that his job wouldn't be there next year. Twice I rang Tuvey, and twice he said to me, look, no one has told him yet. I think he's not silly, Jeff Tuvey. He knows the writing's on the wall. He knows it's going to happen. But at this point in time, I think it's just all humming along at Manly and everyone sort of knows what's happening. But it's not actually officially being said, certainly from Tuvey's point of view.
Mm.
On that theme, Dino, today, Manly v the Sharks.
Yeah.
Any update there on team selection?
Yeah, it's a 4 o'clock game down there at Brookvale, Ray. A couple of changes for Manly. Out goes Justin Horrow, in comes Jaden Hodges. And out goes James Hassan, in comes Josh Starling. And, of course, Michael Ennis will be missing for the Sharks. Pat Politone. I hope I've got that right. He'll be the starting hooker. But there is a bit of talk with Jeff Robson. And even Ben Barber may play a bit of dummy half during the game. And then, of course, there's a Monday night game, a real good game, West Tigers Parramatta out there at ANZ Stadium. Not much to report out of this game just yet, guys. They've still got a training session to get through today. But Kevin Nguama, the West Tigers winger, has a hamstring. He's in some doubt. But at this point, Parramatta's OK.
Jamie Lyon. There was speculation around Jamie Lyon. Have you heard anything in there?
I haven't. Jimmy, no, I spoke to the Seagulls yesterday. They didn't mention Jamie Lyon.
Okay, all right.
You can see where he plays next year. The mail is he may slot into 5'8 next year with Peter Hicku into the centres and young Trebojevic on the wing. Jamie, of course, did play in this 07 grand final at 5'8. He's played State of Origin at 5'8. So as much as I'll miss four, and I guess it's quite a handy replacement to have a player of his quality slip into the number six jumper.
Absolutely. Anything else about?
Yeah, no, that's about it, mate. Just looking forward to the big game, guys. Obviously, it's going to be an absolute ripper, and may the best team win, I guess, guys. But I hope it's the Blues.
Good luck to your Blues, Dino.
All right, man.
See you, Dino. Good on you, mate. Be fantastic. Looking forward to Wednesday night. There he is, Dean Bulldog Ritchie, the number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraphs.
Equal first. There's some good men there.
But you're unbelievable. Equal first. You've just had him on the line.
Yeah, and Dino would agree. Equal first.
Equal first.
There's some good men there.
First among equals, Dino. 1353 53 is the open line number. Lots of emails and, SMS coming in. 0419 SMS BSB. That's 0419 767 272. Bulldog says Farah should be out for 3 or 4 weeks if he plays Wednesday night. I bet he won't back up for the Tigers, which is a joke, as the Tigers pay his salary. State over club, not right. Cheers from Craig.
Very good point. And
to continue, ask the Sharks fans and Paul Gallen. About that one.
And this one from The Factor, Jimmy. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. It's a scheduling disaster. We get reserve grade Cowboys versus Steelers on a standalone Saturday night, but State of Origin and the Ashes have to share dates. Wouldn't happen if I was in charge. <It's a factor. laughs> Mate, I'm with him. Common theme there.
Well, who knows what would happen if the Factor was in charge. But anyway, we can only dream about that. Leonard Cohen, it seems about that demographic, the Factor. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Tony McAvoy.
Stop talking about it. Just do it. That's right. Book now for the International Race Week in Hong Kong. Leaving December 8th, all the details are looked after by Ambassador Travel. It's first class the whole way. Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday night, and also for International Day at Sha Tin on the Sunday. There's the sightseeing tours to Macau. Venture up to Mission Hills for some golf to test the best. In between, grab all the bargains and knock over the Christmas shopping. You can also extend to mainland China. Call Ambassador Travel now, 1-800-777-989, or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
Origin 3 will be a nail-biter. Will the Maroons reclaim the title they held for 8 years? Or will the Blues go back-to-back and start a dynasty of their own? Back any player in the first try-scorer market in the State of Origin Decider with your TAV account or TAV Rewards card. And if your player doesn't score first but scores a try later in the game, we'll replace your stake with a bonus bet up to $50 or equivalent points. Get on at your local TAV, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Terms and conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred, maybe a broodmare, a tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Well, look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. No more unnecessary transport of valuable assets. With regular sales, there is no more waiting. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock across Australia and internationally. It is a great service, this one. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Boy, I like this one too. Jimmy, from Paul from Wagga. Boys, really sad to see Ryan Harris retire. If you've just woken up overnight, Ryan Harris has made the decision to retire from all forms of cricket because of this continuing knee injury of his. Paul from Wagga says, I really hope he stays on tour. His experience and knowledge will be invaluable to the new breed of fast bowlers. Good point. With Pat Cummins coming into the squad, Josh Hazlewood on his first Ashes tour, Mitchell Starc. But they've got people like Craig McDermott there who does a super job, doesn't he?
I think Ryan Harris will find himself in the Cricket Australia coaching setup somewhere. I think he's done some work already with the Australia A side. I think he toured with them when he was out this middle of the year. So I think that's what the future holds for Ryan Harris. In looking at his past and what he's done, 27 test matches, 113 wickets at 23.52. Well, they're Stuart Clark numbers. It is. It's fantastic. And, of course, averaged 21.53 with the bat with a high score of 74. And the other thing about him, lion-hearted contributor every
bowling.
Time.
Even when he was playing hurt, Jimmy, he kept bowling and bowling at speed and accuracy and length and just nagged away and drove batsmen mad.
And there were different stages when you thought, there wasn't every bloke in the Australian cricket side I'd like to go and have a beer with. Ryan Harris was never that bloke.
Right at the top of the queue.
Absolutely. 13.50.
Paul from Wagga, two strong hearts. Live.
And what do you got? You're on commission, the number of CDs you give out. All right, Paul from Wagga gets the CD. Well done. There you go. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's go to callers now. Chris is on the line. G'day, Chris.
How you going there, guys?
Really
morning,
well,
Chris.
Mate.
Just a few observations. First of all, we're watching a game now in the soccer, the women's soccer, there. Three versus four game.
Yeah.
Is there a more depressing contest?
We're just saying that off air, actually.
It's funny you mention that, Chris, because what's worse than the third, fourth playoff is the third, fourth playoff going to extra time. And it was at nil all.
And England are in front now. England leading 1-0 at the moment against Germany.
Games, I always think World Cup 3 versus 4 is a game that should never be played.
I agree.
The scheduling of the State of Origin in the cricket, I noticed this about three or four months ago. I don't think this is very good for the ratings. Can you imagine interstate? All the ratings interstate, they pick up on State of Origin. How much are they going to lose to the cricket?
That's a good point.
You're 100% right, Chris.
Yeah, of course. Good point, Chris.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be huge. Two other things, Ray. Channel 78.
Channel 78, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The racing channel, Melbourne.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I know why it's called 78, because they replay the first from Mornington 78 times. It is the most bizarre TV station I have ever seen.
Cannot
get 24 hours of Melbourne horse, Victorian horse racing.
Well, right now there's just no content apart from the meetings they show each particular day. So, and that's going to be the problem going forward too, Chris. All they have are the rights for Victorian racing. There's only one or two meetings each day, and so that's the endless replays, one after the other.
And I agree with you, Jimmy, about Nick Kyrgios. There's something about this which seems a bit contrived.
Yeah.
Even that ad. Have you seen the ad he does for the headphones?
Well, he's ranked 29 in the world, I thought. He's certainly seeded 29 into Wimbledon. And he's the only player on tour sponsored by Beats by Dr. Dre.
Yeah, but have you seen the ad?
I haven't seen the ad.
Well, the ad is basically, there are no rules.
He blows up, doesn't he, Chris? Yeah.
He's the rebel.
Yeah.
He doesn't conform to anything.
Yep.
Verbal abuse, yes, I'll do it. Racket abuse, I'll do it. I'll wear whatever clothes I want to wear. It seems a bit manufactured. Even though the other night, in that game against Raonic, when he slammed his racket down and it went 5 metres
bounced up.
Apparently if that hit somebody, he would have been disqualified.
Automatic disqualification if it had hit someone.
Somebody caught it in the crowd. Well, he almost took out a linesman I think a linesman and a ball boy, and then it went straight up in the crowd and somebody caught it. Now, that would have been an automatic DQ, he's treading a thin line. But I'm like you, Jim, I think this is contrived, and I don't know that it's doing him any good, the whole
thing. It's doing him, we'll see what Leo Schlenk has to say about it, but it seems to me that he's doing him no favours. But the one where he's sitting in the chair talking to the umpire, where he's saying, does it make you feel big, does it make you feel strong, and
What was that about? Seriously.
That's just petulant. Yeah. And I know he's 19 or he's 20 years of age. We can look back.
Sometimes I think tennis umpires should come down a lot harder, quicker on players. And they let them get away with all this verbal abuse.
Can you imagine it? If they came down harder on a player?
Give them a point penalty.
Mate, you know where they'd be penalty. Umpiring tennis?
I know they'd be out of it. But wouldn't it be good
They'd
to
be
see
umpiring Mildura.
But right now, those sort of players, unfortunately, have too much power, don't they?
For the greatest range of bikes, drop into Bates Bikes. Bates Bikes have been catering for all cyclist needs for more than 90 years. For quality bikes, accessories, clothing, service and support, visit Bates Bikes, 273 Princess Highway, Carlton.
Jarlow's Pies, 100% Australian lean Aussie beef and bursting with flavour in all Coles and IGA stores. If you can't find them, ask for Jarlow's by name. The difference with Jarlow's is the deliciously flaky pastry on top and a bottom which is rolled extra thin, giving you more meat and less fat.
Hey, Mum, don't forget the Jarlow's.
And don't forget me, Darls.
You tell them, kiddo. At Jarlow's Pies,
we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
For the past 5 years, everyone here at Sky Sports Radio have been telling you about the exotic delights of Hong Kong. Mm. I've had a Hong Kong trip. Mm. Fantastic.
Enjoy it?
Absolutely. Here's your chance to sample the sights and sounds of one of the world's truly great weeks of racing with Ambassador Travel. And, of course, you do it in style. Private boxes all the way at Happy Valley on Wednesday, while on Sunday you're off to Sha Tin for four Group 1s in the climax of the Turf World Championships. I know we're a long way out, Raymond. Mm. Australian horses at Hong Kong this year?
Chance Chautauqua.
Right, there you go.
International sprint. Yeah. A chance to go. Yeah.
In between, you can shop, cruise the harbour, head to Macau, play golf at Mission Hills, or just relax. Played golf at Mission Hills.
How'd you go? Hit them well?
Nah. Freezing. It was there. As soon as the sun went, it's freezing.
Okay.
Yeah. Why not extend and take in China? Call Ambassador Travel now on 1-800-777-989. That's 1-800-777-989, or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
Coco Joy are proud to bring you this week's edition of Zorba Zappers. At Coco Joy, we have everything coconut, water, milk, flour, oil, and more. Here's Zorba.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Show. And Zorba's been good enough to join us. Pete, good morning. I think we've got Pete there, Hamish.
You there, Zorb?
Good morning.
Yeah, there we got him. Yeah, how are you, Pete?
And yeah, terrific.
The Panthers, weren't they great on Friday? I know I was driving you mad with the text, but they were terrific on Friday night against South.
Yeah, they were. And finally, the talent pool, which is the biggest nursery in rugby league anywhere in the world, biggest junior nursery, is starting to really bloom. I mean, Bryce Cartwright, that was his... just his 21st game in first grade.
An emerging superstar he is, Pete, isn't he?
He is, and we've known about him for a long time. He's been coming through the ranks. He's got skill. It's something in that Cartwright family that they love to offload, but they do it with skill, but they combine toughness with the skill, and he is something special, isn't he? But, I mean, when you look through that side, like 4-1 against the reigning premiers, and they haven't been going all that well in recent weeks, Penrith, but they've been getting the job done. They've got their halves back together now.
That's a big key.
So we're going to see a difference there with them, with Soward and Wallace back, getting their players back at the right time. I thought Cartwright was great, the fullback. Dallin Watini is a Lesniak. He was absolutely outstanding. Dean Farray, what a player he is. Waka Blake, Apisai.
Reagan Campbell Gillard too. I thought that was his best game I've seen him play for Penrith at the front row there. Pete, he was extraordinary.
Yeah, he was. He was very good. I don't know about having that name for a front rower, Campbell Gillard. But he's certainly a talent, isn't he?
Hey, Apisai Coruscant, good pickup for the Eagles is what you're alluding to. Let's go to the game last night. Dragons up against the Cowboys. So many out for the Dragons. So there was excuses there, but Jimmy, did they play enough footy, Zorb?
Nah, they're not playing footy. I mean, you guys on Fox Sports last night were talking about it, and it was obvious that until the game was nearly gone, we didn't see their playmakers play.
Yeah.
And they're their two greatest players. Mm. They get more money than anyone else in the team. It's their job to lead them around the park and to win games, and we just didn't see Benji in the game at all until it was too late. And really the same applied for the number six. He's a fantastic player.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, they had some players out, but they showed that they can still play the football, and they probably were unlucky not to to even level it up and send it into extra time, I thought. But
yes,
I didn't think they were the side that could figure really much in the end of season. Nothing's changed my mind there.
Well, it's four losses in a row now, Pete, and during that period they've probably been in a chance to win all four games. Their defence is still great, but their attack, they're averaging 13 points over that past four losses. You're not going to win football games averaging 13 points a game, are you?
And I know that they're your second favourite team, right? But, mate, it's like backing a draft horse in the Melbourne Cup. It's not going to get you anywhere, mate.
Righto, State of Origin Wednesday night. I this is just such a huge game, Zorba. You know, there's so many stories run through it. Can the Queenslanders go to the well one more time? Do the New South Wales fresh legs find a victory back-to-back and start their own dynasty? How do you see Wednesday night playing out?
I see the pressure in the cauldron at Suncorp getting to some of the New South Welshmen in this one. I think the pressure is going to be enormous. Build-up started. Once New South Wales hit enemy territory, it's going to be on for young and old. There's going to be no prisoners taken. The pressure on young Clemmer. Who's going to play hooker? The forward clash is going to be absorbing. Queensland know that if they can hold New South Wales in the forwards, they can win it in the backs. I think this will be the last hurrah for Thurston and Cronk together. I don't think Cronk will play too many more Origin series after this one.
Yeah.
And I just think that they will rise to the occasion. I think they'll have one in the tank. The revelations over Cameron Smith and the Alex McKinnon tragedy will need to be answered by Cameron Smith. And that's more pressure in Origin week as well. But I think he'll handle that. I'd love New South Wales to win, but I think pressure's going to get to everybody in this game, including the whistleblowers. And I think everybody that's riding high on New South Wales, our young forwards, towel them up in Melbourne. But I think Suncorp will be different, and I think the whole atmosphere is going to be different there. It's going to be a game like no other for a long time. I can't wait until Wednesday night.
Pete.
I went Queensland first game, New South Wales second game. I'm going Queensland.
Oh, that's a good record.
Oh, yeah, Pete, I hope you're wrong. Pete, do we read anything at all into this in this alleged stoush between Parker and Gagai at a nightclub about 10 days ago?
Hard to say, Ray. I don't have my finger on the pulse on that one. But I think if anything did happen, that they would have nipped it in the bud, the senior players in the team already, and that'd be all over. Just a young bloke try to mark his patch.
I'll tell you what, it's an interesting one with Corey Parker. He's had some issues with Clemmer in the Australian squad in the 2014 Four Nations, and then apparently with Papali as well, and it's around the, I'm the older guy, you're the young buck, and how that attitude permeates through. You've got to understand that those guys don't care about that sort of thing.
You don't ask for respect, Jimmy, do you?
No, that's exactly right. Yep. Exactly right.
You get it. Talking about people under pressure, what about Jason Taylor with that blunder last week? That's a rookie blunder at Leichhardt where puts him on early notice. You know, he kept the lumbering forward Kyle Lovett in the centres instead of shifting Chris Lawrence out there. Once was acceptable, but Larry from Leichhardt could see the mismatch. Dean Farre just burned him with speed on the outside. Yeah. Four tries to David Simmons was a result. Taylor didn't move Lawrence until the game was gone. They've only got 5 wins, 10 losses. They're real wooden spoon prospects. I'll be looking over my shoulder. Jason Taylor, I just think it was an unbelievable rookie mistake, and that he perpetuated it raises questions.
From what I understand, the board's rock solid. No, so I know you laugh at that with all your board shenanigans over there at Manly, but from what I understand, he's only into his first year of a 3-year deal, and that's rock solid at the moment.
Well, if he makes too many mistakes like that, it won't matter how rock solid they are.
Hey, Pete.
I mean, that was... Well, what did you think of it, Jimmy? Come on.
Look, I'll declare an interest in this one. I spoke to Jason Taylor on Monday about it. The obvious one is to move Chris Lawrence there. And the other one is, he said, look, there's no difference in speed between Kyle Lovett and Chris Lawrence. But in honesty, when he's been beaten once, then you make the move.
Did he admit that he made a rookie blunder?
No.
Well, he and his assistant coaches should be in front of the board.
I don't agree with that.
You've got to explain it.
Nah. Well, maybe he has been.
Yeah, maybe he has
been. Maybe he has been. Let's put it that way. Righto, we better get your Zappo.
Yeah, we're in form too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to go Seagulls today against the Sharks. The Sharks have won 6 out of 39 at Brookie and without Gallen.
Just get in the queue for that one.
I think the Eels will be too good for the Tigers. No Woods, no Farron, no Simona.
Yep.
I'm not liking what I see at the Tigers at the moment. I think the Eels on that that left side with Semi running right.
Ooh.
I think the Semi trailer will bag another double. Mm. They don't go well at ANZ though, Parramatta. It's a bit big for them. But they're not as bad as their position on the table indicates. So I'm going to go for the Eels, and I'm going for Queensland. All at the line, all up, triple treat.
All right. So that's Manly minus 6.5 into $1.80. Then it's Parramatta minus 4.5 out to $2. And I'll have to get the other one up. It's New South Wales versus Queensland, which is called State of Origin. And that is Queensland at minus 3.5 at the $1.90. So there you go. That's your Zapper for this week. As you said, in great form. As Ray said, I hope you are wrong in regards to State of Origin. Good on you, Zorb.
I hope I'm wrong too, but you know I really am.
Good on you, Pete. 13:53:53, the open line number, right?
Our next question, Jimmy, for our $50 TAB voucher. Question number two.
Question
Onus
two.
Bonus is on you, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who did Zorba select as his winner of Game 3 of State of Origin in 2015? Who did Zorba select as his winner of Game 3 of State of Origin 2015? 13:53:53, the open line number. Let's go to Adrian on the line. G'day, Adrian.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Very well, thanks, mate.
The thing that points me towards New South Wales winning next week isn't Game 1, Game 2, it's Game 1.
Yeah, explain yourself further.
Yeah, sure. Queensland had so much possession and could do nothing with it. Zero. And then the other thing is, you bring in Brett Morris and Paul Gallen. I mean, Brett Morris is clearly the best winger. He's world class.
Yes. Yes.
He's almost the best fullback in the way he's going. So, him and Gallen, that's a huge change with bringing him in for Tupu and I think for Fafita.
Mm-hmm.
Massive difference. You saw Pearce and Hodgkinson step up from game one, and then Hodgkinson had a big game on Monday night as well. He's probably his best he's played for the Dogs this year.
Yep, yep.
So that's the way I look at it, and I just think that...
And Queensland are weaker. No Billy Slater. Greg Inglis to fullback, and I know that's a danger in its own right, but Dane Gagai on the wing? Mm. Ooh, they'll be going at him
exactly
all night.
Right, and see, the thing is, too, you can't... To me, the rotation of Tamau, Clemmer, and Tamau's a new man since he's come back from his neck surgery.
Yeah, he has. You're right.
Woods is miles in front, so far in front of the Queensland front row rotation. That's a big, big plus. And I just think that... and the other thing is, too, just going forward, what about New South Wales forward back in the years following? I think this is a big game, and I think they will go on a run, yeah? People like Bryce Cartwright, Sean Lane. Imagine that as a second row combination going forward into the future.
Geez, you're a Bulldogs fan. You're getting ahead of yourself putting Sean Lane in the second row for New South Wales. But Bryce Cartwright, yes, I can see. And Sean Lane, maybe. He's two games into an NRL career.
Wasn't he great on my number? But how good's Bryce Cartwright? Just his skills for a second rower.
Oh, wow. Mate, every time he has the football, he looks like he's going to do something with it, doesn't he? And he's playing second row. He's not a halfback. 13:53:53, the open line number. We're going to take a break here. But after the break,
we'll do the
ZNZ quiz. And as a result of that, you need to call now. You can nominate whether you want to be Ray's team. Losers.
Yeah, I'm on a terrible run.
Or you want to be with the strength. 11-6, the scoreline. Me v. Ray. Call now. 13:53:53.
Garlo's Pies. 100% Australian lean Aussie beef and bursting with flavour in all Coles and IGA stores. If you can't find them, ask for Garlo's by name. The difference with Garlo's is the deliciously flaky pastry on top and a bottom which is rolled extra thin, giving you more meat and less fat.
Hey, Mum, don't forget the Garlo's.
And don't forget me, Darls.
You tell them, kiddo. At Garlo's Pies,
we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
John Farnham and Olivia Newton-John, two strong hearts, live. 20 unforgettable hits. Recorded live with Philharmonia Australia, including 16 stunning duets. Experience two legends together on one stage. John Farnham and Olivia Newton-John, two strong hearts, out now.
Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Show with Jimmy and Ray. The ZNZ quiz. Jimmy, who opens the betting?
You're going to open the betting today, mate. Okay. You start one off, mate.
Well, I feel sorry for David. I know I've got Colin from Newcastle. Yes. Colin, are you there?
Yes, right.
Okay,
you?
Colin, we're sticking with the strength here, Colin. So good luck here. And here's the first question. Who do the Seagulls play in the NRL today?
Oh, my God.
Come on, Jimmy, come on. Colin, is it the Shark? Well done. That'll do. It's the Sharks.
Exactly, Colin.
Come on, Jimmy, come on. Okay, Colin, question number two. Which of these sides has the highest all-time first-grade rugby league winning percentage?
Oh, good question.
How about this one?
Good question.
Is it the Dragons, the Storm, or the Broncos?
Broncos.
Bad luck, Colin. It's so close. The Storm have 64.02%. The Broncos 63.59%. Then the Dragons on 60.71%. The Queenslanders. All right, Colin. We'll get this one, Colin. Question number three. Which of these players ranks highest on the all-time rugby league try scorers list? Is it Harold Horder, Nathan Merritt, or Matt Singh?
Harold Horder.
Horder had 152 tries. Colin Merritt, 154. Matt Singh, Colin, had 159 tries. Hang in there, Colin. We're one at the moment. Jimmy, good luck to your caller, who is David from Newcastle.
Hey, Newcastle's got with the strength today. G'day, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
All right. Now, Matty Singh, 159 tries. Well, doesn't even mention the ones that he saved. Mm. He is underappreciated player. All right, forget about that, Dave. Let's appreciate what you can do today. Question one, who do the Eels play in the NRL tomorrow night? Is it the Broncos, the Tigers, or the Titans? Hello, Dave.
Are you there? Titans.
Yeah. Oh, geez, check that line. You made me nervous. What are you questioning?
What did Dave say then?
He said the Tigers.
No, what did you say, Dave?
Tigers.
Okay. All right.
Oh, that'll do me, Ray. Well, you're trying to get funky on me.
It's a very hard line, that's all.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Dave, just check the line again. Dave? You with us, Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, a dodgy line. Hang on, let's go ahead here. Might only need one more question. Which of these players had appeared in the most first-grade rugby league games? Paul Langmack, Brent Kite, or Steve Price?
Steve Price.
Oh, not true, David. Okay, Steve Price, 313. Brent Kite, 313. Paul Langmack, 315. All right, question three. Otherwise, we
pressure,
go to the tiebreaker.
Jimmy, pressure.
The Manly Seagulls recorded the best start to a rugby league season in history, winning their opening 15 games. In what year did this happen? Was it 1994, 1995, or 1996?
I'm going to 95.
You bet it was, Davey. 1995. Just out of interest, who broke the winning sequence? Roosters. Oh, hang on. Hamish. Well, that was the day that I think it was Kelvin Jeffs, the referee, and Phil Gould threatened to take the team from the field.
Okay.
So there you go, Dave. Stay on the line. I'm presuming you're a Knights supporter. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Sorry about that, Dave. But anyway, we can send you out a watch in the colours of the Newcastle Knights, courtesy of ZNZ. No problem. All right, Dave from Newcastle's our winner there. Just updating the score now between you and I now, Ray. I go to
I could have sworn
12.
He said Titans when went to the... And then you said Tigers and... Of course, David, it doesn't matter.
I know what you're doing, Ray.
No,
you're getting to desperate
Colin.
Stakes, mate.
No,
you're
no,
grabbing...
No. I'm more worried about my caller, Colin. I thought he was... Unlucky then.
I was worried for Colin Turner as soon as he said he wanted to go with Ray. But anyway, good on you, Dave. Stay on the line, as we said. We'll get your details. We'll get you. I'm sure he said that.
I thought he might have wanted to go with you.
1353 is the open line number, and we are looking forward to going inside the Origin camp very shortly. We're hopefully speaking to the New South Wales coach, Laurie Daly, which will be absolutely fantastic. Now, this is an interesting one that's come up. Boys, any coverage of James Faulkner's UK drink driving charge? Not a good look. There should be a Cricket Australia discipline for sure. That's from Parramatta. Now, I read about this last night online. I see there's a statement from Pat Howard in regards to that. And I think the Lancashire Cricket Club have also taken action as well.
Yeah, and plus the police will get involved as well. So that's a drama yet to unfold over there.
He's got a July 21 court date. And I've got to put my hand up here. I was playing for the Salford City Reds in the year 2000, and I had a court date on a drink driving charge.
What did you do, Jimmy? How far over?
Oh, I think I was only just over. But yeah, lost my license for 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
In England.
Yeah.
How'd you get around then?
Well, I had the car courtesy of the club.
You couldn't drive it, of course.
No, but I had one of the mates. I was riding shotgun all the time.
You could drink everywhere.
Good on you, Jason Webber. Drove me around the north of England for about 6 months. I appreciate that. The toughest time was when Mum and Dad came over for a visit.
And then Jason Webber had to drive everywhere again, did he?
Yeah, well, I just didn't tell them that.
Did you drive?
I took them on, yeah.
Oh, dear, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You ran the gauntlet.
Silly, you're stupid, you do things that you wouldn't do now, however.
Yeah.
I had a very nervous night one night in Wigan when we drove past the police with Mum and Dad in the car. But anyway.
Back on track here. A couple of SMSs. A good one here from Jamie. Jimmy, boys, do you think Alex McKinnon's criticism of Cameron Smith will play a role on Wednesday night? It could give the Blues that little edge. Well done to Alex for speaking out. Smith should have said sorry. That's from Jamie. But I think Smith should have said sorry. Whether it gives them an edge... I don't know, Jimmy.
Well, let's see how that plays out, and let's see whether he did try to make contact with Alex McKinnon and all that sort of thing. And as I said earlier, I have no problem with what Cameron Smith was saying at the time on the field, because you'd have no idea of the seriousness of the injury that Alex McKinnon had suffered at the time. However, I think it's very strange that he didn't make contact directly after, at some stage after the horrible accident, and just offer his apologies on his own behalf and on behalf of the Melbourne Storm.
We might hear more about that one. This one from Parramatta as well. Jimmy, great to see Tennis Australia have grown some and dumped Bernard Tomic from the Davis Cup team. They had no option, Jim. He had to go.
Oh, of course. It's absolutely ridiculous what Bernard Tomic had to say. And in fact, it was a rant of about 5 minutes. And we've got a little 30-second grab here of what he said. And you tell me what Tennis Australia could do after this.
Since he came in, he knows how he got in a sneaky way, he got his position, and only he knows himself how he got this position. No one's mentioning him. He's doing a lot of stuff. They're holding so much money now down there, and doing what they want, increasing their salary, this, that, giving Pat a salary. It's like saying, here, Pat, here's a salary, do something. He doesn't know what he's doing. They're giving him a budget that he doesn't know what he's doing. What's his job? Deal with it, Pat. You're the mask. He's a mask for these guys, Craig and Steve.
All right, he's talking about Craig Tiley, the Tennis Australia CEO, and Stephen Healy, the president of Tennis Australia, and of course mentioning Pat Rafter there, the Davis Cup coach. So really, you're left with little option to do. And from what I understand, an enormous amount of resources has been devoted to the career of Bernard Tomic.
Yep.
And he has shown that he's a talented player. But to dump on them in such a public manner, and again, we don't know what's happened, whether they've tried to make contact, but seriously, that is just way out of line.
And why choose such a massive stage?
Oh,
is that one
totally.
If you've got an issue, go behind closed doors, sort it out, particularly the Davis Cup tie coming up. It makes no sense at all, Jim. And it's sad because he's such a talented player, and he and Kyrgios would make a really formidable Davis Cup combination for Australia.
Oh, wouldn't they? And they're going to have fine individual careers, potentially. You know, it's not set in stone, potentially.
Margaret from Albury, I agree with Ray about the contestant. I could have sworn he said Titan. So I think we should give Colin another chance next week. I really do, because I think he was hard done by.
Well, this is unprecedented. How do we know Colin would have got the...
Well, we don't, but...
No, we don't. But he didn't get the opportunity to.
That's my point.
Yeah, all right. Well, this will be breaking new ground, and this will all be because you're having a bit of a dummy spit because you're down 12-6.
Not at all.
So, okay. For the sake of this team functioning, we're not going to be Corey Parker and Dane Gagai.
No.
We're not going to come to blows and then have to be teammates the next week. So
put yourself in Colin's position. He rings up hoping to get with the strength, which is you. He ends up with me on the losing team. Then, then there's a discrepancy with a dodgy line, and Margaret from Albury, who deserves a CD.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, for supporting
you. No, because she's pointed out an obvious issue here.
Panel operator Hamish, is there any way that we can check? Can we turn this around, cut it up, so that we can find out exactly what David from Newcastle said? We'll sort something out, okay?
And so, a CD for Margaret.
All right, a CD for Margaret. But if Colin is to come back next week... If Colin is to come back next week...
He should go on
No, he's got to go on your side.
I poor guy. Three strikes he is in.
All right? If he comes back, he's got to go on your side. 1353-53 is the open line number. And why don't we have a chat with John, who's on the line. G'day, John.
G'day, Jimmy, how you going? G'day, Ray.
Hey, good morning, John.
Very well, John. What do you got for us, mate?
I tell you, being a South supporter, guys, I'll be glad when this Origin series is over. Mm. We've been ravaged
with the Origin series.
What?
It is difficult.
Yeah.
We've been ravaged.
Hang on. You've been ravaged?
Yeah.
How many players missing?
Greg Inglis.
Right.
It's all about
right.
Ravaged.
Yeah. Well, the Cowboys have won two of their games that they've had without their Origin stars. Oh, who's the guy who plays halfback? Oh, 5'8"? Oh, what's his name?
The great Jonathan.
Well, the Roosters have got five out.
Listen. I'm sort of talking through my kick because I had Greb's Mule for the last try scorer the other night. But did you see how the referee's gone upstairs? Did you see that where Greb's Mule looked like he got to the line but he didn't?
Yeah. What are you saying?
Okay. Referee's gone upstairs. He said try. Now, what's he said try? What reason is he said try for? I would have thought the only way you could say try as a referee is that you've actually seen the ball on the line.
Nah, they do it. There's actually the belief
judges,
that,
yeah.
No, there's also, check with touchers, but also the belief that he got it down. You don't actually have to see it, and then you can get that confirmation. And that's why some people say, well, you should send it up and say, I don't know. But we've had that system previously, and that wasn't successful as well. But, John, I know you're talking out of your kick, but we do appreciate you giving us a call. 1353 53, the open line number. Well, we've talked about it a lot this morning. It's been talked about a lot, not just this week.
And
but
will continue to be so.
Ever since that full-time siren went down there at the MCG, the series was 1-1, and now we're just days away from what's going to be a massive game of rugby league. And the coach at the helm of the New South Wales side will be Laurie Daly, and he's been good enough to join us on the line from camp up there at Coffs Harbour. G'day, Laurie.
Morning, guys.
Good morning, Laurie.
Every camp seems to have its own personality. Every game has its own personality. How would you describe the personality of this camp for New South Wales, Laurie?
Oh, it's been enjoyable coming off a win. you certainly get back into camp and the guys are very jovial, but they know there's plenty of work that has to be done. They've got through that work and we got one final session today before we head to Brisbane, so they're all excited.
Laurie, such a massive build-up for this game. I think Jimmy said earlier in the show he thinks it's the biggest Origin game probably in 10 years.
Yep.
Is there a risk of playing the game before Wednesday night? How do you keep that balance so the players don't get overexcited before Wednesday night?
Yeah, I think that's the key for being up here in Coffs Harbour because, to be honest with you, you're up here, you're away from everyone. Really, you don't know what's going on outside of your own environment. The players relax and enjoy one another's company, and we try and keep it as relaxed as we possibly can when we're not training. So, the key as a coach is to try and get that balance between intensity and then making sure that they're not thinking about it, and hopefully we've done a good job of that.
From what we understand, today is the day that you determine whether Robbie will determine whether he can actually play in the game. What's your gut feel on that one, Laurie? And is it just a straight swap, Mick Innes in for Robbie if he can't play?
Yeah, well, we're giving Robbie every chance. So he trained yesterday and handled all the skills, catch, pass, dummy half work really well. Today, though, we'll step it up with some contact and see how he goes. But he's a guy that has been a huge part of our team and we want to give him every opportunity to play and we're doing that.
Will he have to tackle Dave Clemmer? Because apparently Dave likes going hard in these opposed sessions.
He does. He knocked out one of our staff yesterday. Holding a tackle bag. That's him. He trains full on. And that's how he plays. And he's a great young boy. And that's just in his makeup. He trains as if he's playing and that lifts the intensity.
Laurie, it's an issue we were talking about earlier, and Dave Clemmer seems to encapsulate it. This young New South Wales side don't seem to have... I'm not intimidated anymore about Queensland, about the great names they're opposing. Mm. Does that also apply to when they run on to that cauldron that is some call on Wednesday night?
Well, I think, like anything, this is where you earn your reputation on this arena. So... For our guys, it's just not a one-off performance. You've got to back it up, and that's the challenge for us. You know, Suncorp, always hard to win up there. We haven't won a decider there in a long time. You know, plenty of things or history, you know, will suggest that we can't do it. But this guy, group of players, is all about the challenge and accepting it and trying to be at their best. And you know, they've prepared really well so far. Can't complain about their efforts, and you know, as long as we get through it, I think on Wednesday we'll give a really good account of ourselves.
Just going back to that Dave Clemmer incident, just confirming that wasn't Dean Bulldog Ritchie that he knocked out, because he actually thinks he's part of the New South Wales squad, Laurie.
No. It was one of the, just after training, they just have a bit of an opposed session. He was, one of the trainers was holding the bag when the forwards were running through it, and sort of just got him in a front-on position. And,
right.
We thought it
might have been the little Forestville 5'8" that got knocked out, but thankfully it wasn't.
No, we don't include him in there.
Okay. Paul Gallen, I thought it was really interesting the way he played in Game 2. Laurie, I don't think I've ever seen him pass before the line as much as he did, and he didn't feel that he had to do it all himself. Was that a direct response to what you were telling him, or did that... That's the way Paul felt he could best serve the team?
Oh, I think it's a combination of both. I think, you know, Gal's aware now that he's got other people that can, and he needs to share the workload around. And if we can get equal contributions from all players, that'll make us a better football team. It's just not all about numbers and metres and hit-ups. We need to play smarter. And if we play smart, we share the load and we work with one another and utilise one another, it makes our game a lot better. So all our players can pass the ball, and that's something that we'd like to see. But we also want them to challenge the opposition when they've got the ball with their presence. And you know the big bodies that we have in our side, they can do that, and they can get us over the advantage line. And if they do that, it'll give us an opportunity to attack.
Laurie, there's no Billy Slater, but Inglis is back at fullback. Cooper Cronk comes into halfback for Queensland. Does that change anything, your structures and your defensive patterns?
It doesn't change the way we approach it. You know, we know they offer different things to Queensland, and Cooper is a different style of player to Cherry Evans, and he is the guy that that gets them around the paddock. And GI is a different fullback altogether than Billy Slater. Yep.